Man, it looks like I'm drinking a glass of piss.
That's okay.
Classic manga clubber.
Welcome, everyone. This is Anime Plummet episode 21. The one that Ed is supposed to be hosting, but is not, because I am hosting. Hi, welcome to our King Free Plummet podcast. My name is Mike, and I'm joined today by Eduardo. Hello, Ed.
Yo, what up?
Not much. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Just hanging out.
Okay. Wow, I like how big you're making that butt. All right. Totally unreliant. And with me today, I have Gizmo. Hello, Gizmo.
Hello. Well, full of energy today, unlike you two.
I know. I'm maybe not the person that should be hosting this, but nonetheless, here we are.
All right, Mike,
doing
step aside.
We have to do. What's that?
Step aside, Mike. I'll take over from here.
Oh, my God. Ed stepping in. Like the hero we need.
Today, it is just us three. As you might have heard, King is off lollygagging out and about somewhere in the U.S. Ohio, Baltimore, Wisconsin, Denver, Colorado. Who knows?
I don't know.
As far as we know, he could be in Alaska camping out by the wilderness.
He might be outside your window right now.
He might be back someday. Who
Mike's
knows?
Mike's garden right now.
We'll see him eventually, right, guys? He'll come back for us.
He's probably on a bigger, better, more successful podcast. Honestly, someone probably scalped him.
Probably. He might be like in a bluegrass podcast or yacht rock out and about.
What was that? Swedish group, bluegrass rock or no metal? Something like that? I think. I forget. It might be Sweden. If you see our king, let us know.
All right, but first, let me hit you guys up with a quick little question I have for you guys before we get into our reviews of Demon City Shinjuku and Wicked City.
Oh!
If you could press... All right, we've all heard stories. Maybe... I'm sure Mike has. I don't know about Gizmo. But we've had presidents that have a nice little button where they press and they'll bring you something, right? It could be one specific thing. So if you could have something brought to you with a press of a button, what would you ask for?
Who are you asking?
Let's start with you, Gizmo.
Oh, shit.
Call me out, why don't you?
I don't know. Snacks, I guess?
Yeah, it could be like any snack, any food, any drink.
You gotta be
what
specific,
would it be?
Though.
Oh, yeah. I have to be specific.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Tuna and onion pizza every time.
Yeah,
it's gonna be salt and vinegar potato chips.
Ooh, good choice. Good choice.
Good, excellent choice. Mine would be a caramel chocolate bar. I'd be like, oh god, I can't make it without some more sugar. And, yeah,
we shouldn't have these buttons, to be honest.
No, pretty dangerous,
not good,
right?
For us.
This is super dangerous.
Well, Ed, what is your choice?
Mine would probably be a soda, because I love fizzy drinks. I've been into seltzers lately just to stay away from the sugar.
Oh, that's,
but if I could have a perfect world,
to...
it'd be a soda, like a cherry Coke or a Cactus Cooler. I don't know if you guys have Cactus Cooler.
I don't know, but I want to.
Oh, Cactus, you guys should try. It's so good. Yeah, Cactus Cooler.
Is it made from... actual cactus?
No, it's just themed that way.
Do you have cactuses
in
Germany?
Ah, yes, in our desert. we grow cactuses.
I heard cactuses.
Okay, it might be primarily a Southern California drink.
Yeah, well. That's okay.
But it is.
I think Southern California might have a bigger population than most European countries.
It's like an orange and pineapple soda. It's really good, though.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Bomb.
I actually don't drink any sodas at all. I just drink juice.
Usually, I like more of the fizziness of the drink than the actual drink itself.
Yeah, but see, I mean, a mix of the fizzy.
The thing is, in North America, at this point, most of our rivers and water systems are actually just carbonated drink. Like, so it's like, if you don't, if you're like I prefer paradise, to drink water, good luck.
Of honey and mead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I like, imagine America.
Just, how do you think the Rocky Mountains
got its glucose, as far as the eye can see, you know?
Sugary water sticking to everything. The lakes.
All right. Kiz, you want to hit us with some announcements?
Announcements? What announcements do we even have?
You got to announce. I don't know why.
Links.animesummit.net for more information on how to find the Discord and the other podcasts and all that good stuff. Yeah. That's it.
Who decided that Link? Hi, Link. Welcome to our podcast. Who decided that Gizmo was the? Was this? Is this King? I feel like
this
King
is. This is all Kings.
Beyond.
I have
it. I mean, someone has to do it, right?
All
right.
King is reaching from beyond the grave. I mean, beyond the mountains or beyond the Ohio, to come make sure he still wrangles control of this podcast.
Do we have proof that King's even in the country anymore? Let's be honest.
Do we even know he's on the planet Earth? I don't know. His consciousness might be in some other nebula as we speak.
We're talking way too much about King, guys. We can't give him the satisfaction.
Right? No, this is right. What he absolutely wanted.
Yeah, let's not talk about
it. If anything, I love it when we completely ignore the fact that King is here and just be like...
Who's King? Who's this King you're talking about? I don't know anyone like that.
Peasants. Oh, I know.
For those of you still following along with the podcast, you know we've been doing the Summer of Girlfriends, and the next show we're going to be covering is Saikano, How to Raise a Boring Girlfriend, which will be our next episode and the final entry to the Summer of Girlfriend, right, Gizmo?
Yep, the final entry before the SmackDown with a special guest. I don't know if you've announced the special guest yet. I don't think we have. It's a surprise.
I don't even think I remember who our guest was, so this will be a surprise.
That is a surprise for Ed as well.
All right, let's get down to it. Let's start off with a Demon City Shinjuku, released October 25th of 1988. Originally from a novel by Hideyuki Kikuchi that was adapted into an OVA. And directed by Yoshiaki Kawajin, who also directed Wicked City. The plot of this is a young swordsman ventures into a ravaged Shinjuku to stop a man who killed his father from opening a portal world into the demons. What did you guys think about this? Right? Mike, what did you think about this?
This felt like a very, very like basic shonen. Like,
have you seen this before, or have you heard about this before you watched it?
This has always been one of those that you hear about from time to time, or you'll see pop up. Like this would be like a very prominent thing on like Retro Crush. This would be like one of those movies that you would find a homepage movie. So when they're trying to get you to sign up. So I've heard of both of these, but haven't seen them before today.
I've never heard of this before. I heard of Wicked City, but Demon City Shinjuku was completely new to me.
I have seen the cover for Demon City Shinjuku, that the girl with the pink bow, like looking with like the clock and everything in the background and stuff. Is it a clock? I can't remember. Anyways, I have seen that background since I've been a teenager. Because it was on the original... Yeah, see, I'm looking at the wrong one. Hold on. That was like... I remember seeing that on VHS. Oh no, it's a summoning circle. But anyways, it's got the girl, it's got the guy with the red cloak and the bats and stuff in the city itself. That's all contained within the thing. You can't even see the main dude. Actually, he blends in so well. Like the girl is what stands out. Anyways, which is
no one cares about the dude.
No,
yeah, he was kind of simple. Simple character, at least.
And so, like, to me, it is visually very nostalgic, but I never watched it when I was young. I don't know why. I think it was because I've always been attracted to more what we defined as moe style, like the bigger eyes and stuff like that, like the clamp style and the like Neon Genesis Evangelion to a lesser extent, and just like the things, the more pretty aspects of anime, the hyper realistic things, like Demon City, Wicked City, and Ninja Scroll and all that kind of stuff, I kind of like went away from, because like I said, I was more interested in that just sort of hyper colorful bubbly style.
Yeah, this show was
a teenager.
If you couldn't tell from the name of it, this is on the darker side, so a lot of darker colors. And as far as like the people go, they were all like proportioned like normal people. They weren't like anything crazy, right? Except for
Levy,
that little
is
kid.
Like the only character, because he Levy is like kind of like Sen material, I would say. He's super tall and
but he's also like the demon part. I was talking about like just the regular people.
So let's get
bad
let's
equals hot and hot equals good, guys. So
remember
the true story.
So my question to you guys, first off, did we watch it subtitled or dubbed?
That's a good question. I watched it subbed. Because I just figured like dubs from the 80s tend to be more amateurish, I would say, and just usually don't sound that good.
How about you, Ed?
I watched the dub. I probably should have watched the sub.
I skipped through the dub, and the dub is fucking hilarious. Like, going on in this
these
dub,
older,
guys?
Older dubs tend to be a lot more out of pocket when it comes to
and
the
also,
things they say.
It's they crazy. Take liberties.
They have way more of a freedom.
This is not Ghost Story level of freedom, but this is like literally they make the main character swear like a fucking sailor. Like he is just constantly dropping F-bombs.
And super unnecessarily.
Yes, like totally. Like at one point in the very end, he's like, I forget, like he finally says a line where he's not swearing, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. He was able to take a moment of not to swear at this girl.
He's
and
really also, matured. Yeah,
there's one scene that I want to highlight because the difference in like tone is so glaring. It's when they sleep in a bed.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Overnight, and he's actually leaving the bed during the night and just sleeping to the side because I can't hold back when I sleep in the same bed.
I can't control myself if I sleep next to you.
Yeah. And the next day when they wake up, she's like, "Oh, well, you fell out of bed. That's too bad, you know." And he's thinking, in the subbed version, he's thinking, "Oh, what do you mean? You don't know guys. Like I'm like a high school boy. I can't hold back or anything." And in the dub, he says something like, what do you mean? Did you want me to fuck you silly or something?"
How does she think I could sleep lying next to her? Would she rather I fucked her silly all night?
Yeah.
What?
Crazy. It's absolutely ludicrous. I watched the dubs. These are two notoriously not good dubs, but they're bad. They're bad enough to enjoy. Like, well, they're not like...
I have some issues with at least the Demon City dub. You guys know the Chibi, right? The small dude?
Mm-hmm.
With the roller skates?
Yes, okay. My apologies already to Ed, because yes, absolutely, there's some racial profiling going on here.
Yeah, well, not only that, but there's two specific parts I remember where he's in the scene, one at the underground train at the subway, and when he opens a door into their bedroom that next morning, where he opens a door, his mouth is clearly moving, but he doesn't say anything. I don't know if, Mike, you noticed that in the dub. And also inside the train, there was an action scene where he was running around. His mouth was moving, but he didn't say any lines. And then like it went back to him later, and then he started talking again, like nothing happened.
Weird.
So there was a couple of spots where it was just, I don't know if it was maybe an issue with what I was watching, or he just didn't have lines that they gave him or something.
So did you know that Chibi is a Mexican Japanese living in Shinjuku?
Is that part of the lore?
Is this official lore, Mike?
I don't know. I'm just going based on the dub that they gave this guy.
Yeah, well, you can show it with some green bucks.
Yeah, hey, the accents are really weird.
Oh man, they're terrible.
Everybody in this movie had a different accent too. Like, the guy was American, the woman was British, and then like there was other characters that were French. What's his name? The guy with the long hair, Mephisto. Every single person in this movie had a different accent.
Was he supposed to be French? I thought it was.
I don't know if it was French. It was European of some
Italian
sort.
Italian or something. Yeah.
You needn't worry. She is responding to my treatment. She'll have recovered by tomorrow. What are you doing in Monster City? Are you playing a game?
Giz, did you hear the English dub of Mephisto? Did you catch what he sounded like?
Yeah. I skipped a bit through and I listened to Mephisto and Chibi and all the good stuff.
So what would you say Mephisto is?
I couldn't really place it. I would say it's some kind of Roman language, so it's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like
I think
Italian, French,
Italian, Spanish, like a bad Italian accent. I could see that because Mephisto, it's... Yeah, you kind of take this.
How was the sub for you, Gizmo? Was there any glaring issues or anything you noticed? I mean, it might be harder because we're not fluent in Japanese or anything, but yeah, it's easier to tell in English.
I think the sub was fine, but judging from what I've seen from the dub, the dub was way more entertaining. I wish I had seen the dub, to be honest. Even if it was bad, there was also one scene where he gets pulled into the puddle, right?
Yeah.
Fighting that illusionist guy, where there were barely any sound effects in the dub. It was hilariously bad.
Yeah, it was really bad.
I watched that scene by scene, like comparison, and the sub, there was like, you had like water noises and gurgling sounds and echo of the illusionist guy talking. And in the dub, it was just nothing. It was so bad.
There was very little Foley work.
Yeah.
What did you guys watch? What platform did you watch this on? Because this is one of those weird ones that's like available everywhere. Like, you can find it on Tubi and Retro Crush, as you mentioned. But which one?
I watched it on Retro Crush.
Okay. How about you, Giz? What did you watch? Oh, or can we not talk about where you watched it?
I watched it on the internet.
Yes. Okay. Very good. Excellent. I was just kind of curious. I watched it on High Dive. I was just kind of, because I don't remember.
Oh, they had it on High Dive?
Yeah, they have it on High Dive.
Damn.
So that's where I watched it, because I didn't want to watch the commercials from Retro Crush. So, or Tubi.
I signed up for a free trial for it.
For High Dive?
Or Retro Crush.
Oh, okay. What I was going to say, so maybe we just get like a basic idea, because I did explain it. So the whole plot is there's this guy, Levy, who basically turns his back on the human race and sides with the demon to act as their sort of, by gaining the demon's power, helping open up. And they basically, Shinjuku, if you didn't know, is very sort of high fashion, like neighborhood. Like, it's like one of those trendy, it's like Soho in New York City, or I'm not sure what the LA equivalent would be, but I guess Beverly Hills, where it's like very ritzy, very like high end. Anyways, the whole point is that Shinjuku basically gets sucked into this like separate zone, and it's like has demons crawling over, but it isn't completely open yet. There's still humans kind of milling about and living there, albeit often falling prey to like roaming demons and stuff like that. So the main character, whose name is what the hell is even his name, Koyoya, anyways. Genichiru is his father, and he dies at the very beginning fighting Levy, trying to stop him. But at this point, Levy has the power of demons, and he's more powerful. And he actually kind of sucks, because he just uses his sword to fire like laser beams.
Yeah,
basically,
he just holds it up to his face, and then the sword just shoots at it. It's like sideways too.
Yeah, I know. So he just cheats. Anyway, so
he
his
reminded
son...
me a bit of the bad guy in Ghostbusters 2. What was his name again?
Oh, you're talking about the second one?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't remember.
But... yeah, the big painting you're talking about.
Yeah.
I guess he's got kind of that vibes. I think he's meant to be like a foreigner because he's got kind of like white hair, or what was blonde, I guess. Anyways, fast forward, his son has inherited his power of... Oh, also his power was called Nimpo. And so my friend and I were making jokes about him being nipomaniacs.
I thought that was... That's like a Japanese martial arts style or something, but I googled it and I didn't find anything.
Like, I want to say Ranma 1/2, like it's Tenpo or Kenpo that he uses or something like that. That's legitimate, but no, I don't know what that. But anyways, I mean, he makes tin cans levitate and then slashes them with a wood sword in half. Like, I don't know.
Magic powers.
It's essentially like imbuing your sword with a like chakra or something, right?
Spiritual energy.
There you go.
Energy. Yeah. Which, yeah, haul back to Hell's Paradise, where that's essentially the same thing there.
Yep.
Anyways, so this girl who's the daughter of the president of something. The president of Earth.
And he's like the savior of democracy or something they call him, because he's like, oh, super genius at diplomacy and
just so happens to be is he from Japan or is he just coming to Japan? He comes in, it's like his flight is coming now, it's like a space shuttle landing.
I was gonna say, he flies in a space shuttle, that's crazy.
He's so important. Planes are not good enough.
Where's your space shuttle, President Trump? Anyways, yeah, Sayaka is his daughter, and like this whole time there's also a really old guy that I don't remember, he's not really important, that it tries to influence this young son to go and fight instead.
He's a Nempo master,
is it? Yes. And then the son, rightfully so, is like, well, my dad couldn't kick his ass, what do you think make me do it? And then this girl comes along and the girl's like, please sir, won't you go with me to the Demon City Shinjuku, even though you're probably going to get your ass handed to you? And he's like, no, fuck that. Because he swears like a sailor. And so she goes by herself. I don't know what she brought. A bunch of money, was planning to bribe her way there. I'm not sure. Doesn't go too well for her.
I don't know what she was thinking. Like, she walks right into the first trap she sees.
Yes. she is wearing a laser ring, but the laser doesn't even hurt the first guy it shoots. It goes from there. Of course, the guy was like, well, I'm not gonna let this sexy, well, she's not really sexy, this demure, cute girl of unknown origin, because she's like, oh, I'm fascinated with Japan. And it's like, even though you have a very Japanese name, I guess.
I think she is Japanese. Oh. The guy, the president is Japanese.
Oh, he is Japanese. Pretty okay. Sure. Anyway, so he does come along and save her in the end. Yeah, but basically she's constantly needing rescuing throughout this whole thing. With the exception of like one scenario where she basically saves him by talking very sweetly to these ghosts and souls that are stuck there in Demon City Shinjuku. Anyways, yeah, they go through a bunch of things and
make friends with the Mexican. Three henchmen, the three demon henchmen of the main guy.
Yeah, like the first one is a huge fight. Like, shout outs to the first one. It's like this crab. Like, it's upper torso of a human, lower torso of like a crab kind of thing. He's a walker. He reminds me of like the old Daemon engines from Warhammer. Looks very much like that. And it's a big long fight on this train sequence and all this stuff. And then we get to the second one, which is like this illusionist puddle thing. It's over in like 2 seconds. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
And well. Anyways, and then who was the third? The third was the one that Mephisto, fought.
So. Yeah.
It's the seductive succubus kind of type.
Redhead.
With Mr. Elastic powers?
Yeah, like she's there. Yes. And Mephisto kind of goes, well, why don't you seduce me instead? And then stabs her with his many very fancy, elegant scalpels.
Is Mephisto also a demon?
Yeah.
Or is he like
I don't think
I think it's not confirmed, but I mean, his name is Mephisto.
Yeah, like...
He is named... I think...
Because he seemed pretty comfortable in Demon City, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he was also plenty strong on his own.
And he doesn't show any demon powers or anything, so he might not be. But he actually makes her explode. Do you remember?
It's based on a manga called Diddy, Demon City Hunter.
Yeah, that's like a side story or something.
He kills her by pouring alcohol into her mouth, and she has like this acidic saliva or whatever.
Sulfuric acid or something, right?
Yeah, sulfuric acid, yes. Is that true? I don't know. Who's the chemist in the group?
I don't know.
She blows up, basically. I guess don't mix alcohol and acidic acid. Sulfuric acid. Damn. Fruit, please comment.
I was about to do that for my party tonight.
That was my main drink.
Damn it. Why did they get this acidic breath installed?
What did you guys think of the character designs of the demons? Of at least the three main ones outside of the main baddie. Because I thought the first one was pretty cool. The second one was a little underwhelming, but still kind of unique. And then the last one was just like a, let's make her stretchy.
Like the second one was kind of like a bird, kind of like a bird, a face with wings, which I guess is a very Japanese thing, and claws, right? Mm-hmm. Very like Ito, Jinji Ito kind of style monster. And then the girl is just, I don't know, it's like beware of women, wicked women that mm-hmm. wish to seduce. Anyways, yeah, these two movies don't have a lot of great things to say about women.
The female characters are like decorations most of the time.
They're
in both movies.
What did you guys think about the action and the violence? I felt like it was a little underwhelming at times, especially the final fight. There could have been so much more done with that, but
the climax was really underwhelming.
Yeah, because like there was a part where like he sliced them in half, right? And then he looks like he's going to get back together and then fight him.
Oh yeah,
that more,
actually,
and then
I kind of thought that was funny. Like he's like, you don't know, I got under control. No.
Then he just dies.
When it comes to the action, I think the train sequence was probably my favorite. Like,
fairly
early, and the movie felt a bit like these cheesy 80s, 90s action flicks, like Escape from LA came to my mind.
It almost felt like they spent a lot of budget on getting up to the train scene, and they're like, oh shit, we gotta go, like we're running out of money.
We gotta finish this,
like,
bitch.
Because like literally the other two demon lieutenants, whatever you want to call them, are like nothing. They have much more bigger segmented, just which I think is meant to be like a heart-touching moment dedicated to the girl, the sort of the fire spirit, the little girl that's not really one of his demon people. It's just
from the park,
where it's just a little girl kind of there, and then finally, you know, whatever her name is, Sayaka, like hugs the girl and she turns into a skeleton as she finally dies, and the souls do.
Souls of the people that died in that city, like roam around, that kind of deal.
Yeah, it was odd.
It was okay, but it was not super engaging for me.
Anyways.
And then the way they ended is also, it's so cheesy. I mean, the whole movie is cheesy, right? But
yeah, this is like,
he just finds the sword of his father and pulls it out
show us how he actually got back up, like those 20, 30 stories he fell. Like, it's just like he's back in the doorway. Like, here he is. Because, like, I honestly thought, like, because I was like, I don't like, I don't know these movies, but I know that bad shit happens in them. So I was just like, oh, that girl's dead. That girl's, because the girl gets all wrapped up and is basically left. It's like, ah, finally a sacrifice for the demons. And then he basically just blasts him off the side of the building and he falls all the way down. But
yeah, Sayaka should have died several times throughout the movie.
Yeah, yeah. To take a demon, you take too much time. You should have just taken a chunk out of her right there and then.
But yeah, he puts out his father's sword and then we cut to the master, the Nempo master, and he says, oh, he finally has his true power and now he can defeat the demon.
Oh, because his father knew this was going to happen, so he imbued all of his strength into the sword?
His whole life force into the sword, and now he's super powerful and can defeat the demon. It's so cheesy. and then he just basically like one swing and the bad guy's dead. And like, okay, that's it.
Yeah, like he fires off a big blast and splits the bad guy in half, which is, again, it's just kind of silly because at no point was he strong enough, and just constantly the bad guy's once again firing these stupid ass laser beams. It's just destroying everything, right? So, but whatever, kind of unrealistic. And then of course they hook up right at the end. They're like, oh, we're gonna be such a dreamy couple when we get back.
Yeah. We never see the kiss, though.
No, I mean, no.
Very male power fantasy.
Yeah, but that's kind of the 80s movies, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the main character has to remain pure, right?
Right.
Nothing until marriage. Nope. No signs of affection.
What would you guys give this? Women, cover up your
ankles. Well, what's that? He gets introduced by slapping a waitress' ass.
I mean, that's right. I forgot about that at the beginning. Like, he's such a fucking, like, and, like, she just goes, oh, you. Like,
yeah.
It was so bad. I remember.
Different times. Right.
Well, I mean, who knows, right? Different times. Just ask women on the train. This is why they have their own train carts, guys.
Yeah, this is why.
Anywho, right, what would you guys give this movie?
Yeah, let's get into some ratings.
Mike, hit me with it.
What's that? Oh, give a rating for this. Give a rating. I would rate this a 5 out of 10. I would say 5. Let me see. I would rate this 5 Mexican accents out of 10.
Damn it, Chibi.
Damn it, Chibi. Oh, my goodness.
Gizmo?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I would say 4.5. Two-headed demon doggies out of 10.
R.I.P.
Yes, actually, that's the one other thing that Sayaka does. She befriends this Doberman double-headed dog, which apparently are bred like that. Like, That was pre-demons.
They were scientifically engineered.
Yeah, that was okay.
Anyway, and spoiler, the dog dies.
Oh. Ripperoni's, yeah, my guy.
It does. It's like on par with the beginning of what do you call it? JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It's like that level of just it's all downhill from there.
Am I thinking of the right movie? But wasn't there also a cat murdered immediately?
Oh yeah. Oh, no, that's wicked. Oh, is it?
I can't remember which one of the two it was, but there's also a cat like gets eaten by the demons or something, just shredded at the...
Well, you see its shadow. Like, you see the cat running off, and then some tentacles catch it, and see the shadow of it being ripped apart.
Yeah.
It's pretty gross. Like, and I remember because we have a lot of cat friends amongst my friends who do Warhammer and stuff, and I said, Nick, it's a good thing you're not watching this, because Jason was watching it with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a movie for animal lovers, for sure.
No.
Yeah. Not. I'll give it also a 5.
Five?
Yeah. It wasn't anything spectacular. It was fine, but also not good. It was just right in the middle.
Yeah. And who takes a wooden sword to go fight demons? I mean, who's that dumb? Come on.
I feel like I've seen that a lot in anime, though, right? He never has a real sword until the very end. It's just a wooden train.
He never even gets a real sword. His father's sword was a wooden sword, too. It's so stupid.
No wonder he lost.
The math adds up. All right, should we head on to the second movie?
Well, first let's cut out for a break. A little bit of a commercial break here.
All right, hit us, Mike.
Let me see. Luna's Tuna Pizza. Come on down to Luna's Tuna's Pizza, down on 5th and Main. Down we got eels that will fish your eels. Luna's Tuna's Pizza.
Take all my money, Mike.
Anyways, we got to cut. I got a little special segment we're going to cut in here.
Okay. And
so, like, just like this.
Today in Mike's Pervy Corner, why the hell are you here, teacher? Please enjoy.
First teacher's best girl, by the way. Just saying.
Hi, so welcome. This is Mike here, and I have a special guest, a very good friend of mine, who is both sound professor and podcast host for a Warhammer 40K podcast called Masters of the Forge. I'd like to welcome Jason. Hello, Jason. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Hi, everyone. Good to be here.
Good. Excellent. So you talk a lot about sounds at work, and then you talk a lot about Warhammer 40K on your off time. So why are you here on an anime podcast?
I think because for some reason you think that you can find the perfect anime that I will love.
Is that actually true? I don't know. I don't think so, but you're the one that's willing to make the plunge into
that
some
too.
Of the more questionable content. And speaking of questionable content, just out of a lark, we ended up watching an entire short anime series called Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher? 12 minutes episodes. I want to say it came out like 2 years ago, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Available both on Crunchyroll and High Dive, but High Dive has the uncensored one, which is, I mean, if you're watching it, that's the reason why you're watching it. Like, let's be real.
Wait, there's a censored version?
Oh, heck yes. You go Crunchyroll, it's not.
So you're cutting out 25% of the anime.
Basically. So there's big. I can't remember how they censored it, honestly. So yeah,
that's a lot of vertical bars, man.
Yeah, that's a lot of like God rays and other things, you know. We watched this plus those 12 episodes, 10 minutes each. It's like what, 120 minutes, and uh-huh. then a 10 minute OAV afterwards. What's your initial impressions of Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher?
It was pretty funny. I mean, it was, very risque, very, like, I don't know how well it would test with some American audiences. Like, we were watching, and we had a few people who would bounce into the channel, and, yeah.
Yeah, like, we kind of commented, I said, not for the weak of heart. And immediately that meant about three or four people came in and were like, yep, and out. Like, Nick was like, shout out to Nick, Captain Corbs. His significant other was right there next to him. He's like, nope. And he left.
He didn't last any time at all.
Messer Hands came in and was like, oh yes, this is definitely peak trash. And now I have to go. I have to go clean my toilet or something.
Yeah.
And then he jumped. And then near dear to my heart, Brian Harvey, who just for a little bit older than me, also a teacher. So this is the funny thing is I'm an instructor for work. You are a university professor.
Yeah.
Brian Harvey teaches, I want to say either high school or middle school or something like
that. No, it's high. It's senior level high school, basically.
Yeah, like he's a history teacher. He comes in. What a delightful man. He does also podcasts of 40K, has a couple young kids, spectacular miniature painter, like actually commissioned painter. And I immediately stop and I said, no, I respect you too much to continue watching this with you here. And we kind of
we tapped the brakes on that until he
he was the one person that came in where I said, nope, never mind.
Yeah.
It would be like your favorite teacher from school coming in while you're jerking off the porn or something like that. I don't know. Someone you look up to. And so that's essentially what happened there. So lots of funny things. Absolutely. Like it's odd. So if you remember Domestic Girlfriend, because you also watched that with me too.
Yeah.
There was a scene in which Hina it's caught that Hina's slept with, now at this point, one of her students, right? The main character. And what happens? She gets a slap on the wrist and told you got to go work at the school across town.
Yeah.
Like, if this was the U.S.
Oh, yeah, that would, yeah, no, there and, wouldn't be any of that.
Yeah, the stories come out. Like, there's always a sensational story of a, you know, for all the wrong reasons, the most salacious are always a female teacher and a male student. Anyways, and of course they end up going to prison and all this kind of stuff. So it's, United States.
And then, if you're a faculty member or fellow teacher, then you get grilled on what did you know? Did you see anything?
Yeah, exactly. There's the, no one comes out of it unscathed. The principal probably is teaching in another state now, it's just always, it's a bad time. So, but for whatever reason, Japan loves doing this trope. And
Not fairy tales, but there's certain tropes that for whatever reason they survive in
Definitely, this is definitely feels male fantasy, right?
Yeah.
Like male, that's kind of, that. Which band, who's it?
Van Halen. The song? Hot for
Van
Teacher.
Van Halen, that's what I was going to say.
I was thinking about that as you were talking. I was like, it's kind of like Hot for Teacher, but, anime version.
Yep, pretty much. So, four male leads, all high school students, four teachers, and we kind of rotate through them. Did you have a favorite teacher?
No, because it was all just so, trying to think of how to explain this. It wasn't that it was shocking or anything like that. I mean, I work in the fine arts, and this really wasn't shocking, to be honest. But, it was just one of those things like, oh, okay, this is kind of, a little bit weird, but okay, this is how this is going. I did not have a favorite teacher. It was just more of a general. One of the things I found fascinating about this entire series was the changes in anime styles.
Yes, it likes to there is a very sort of shonen seinen like style where they darken the eyes and stuff like that and have very grim. Especially like the first scene he walks in on the teacher in the boys' room, like in an obscure part of the school kind of thing. Like, he could come and do his business in peace and she's there and they have both these like sort of grim looking faces.
Yeah.
You kind of get that juxtaposition to like chibi style anime.
Yeah. You know,
another moment, right? When what's her name? The Kudere teacher, the one that's like very monotone voice and very cool, is kind of limping across the floor or whatever the case is.
So is that, I mean, I'm going to ask questions because I'm not, like, how can I put this? Whenever I was younger and would have been more exposed to anime, where I'm from, we didn't have any sort of stores that had anime at all. I mean, it was just, it's a rural sorry, part of Texas, and we just didn't have those things at that time. And so I don't have the knowledge. But I guess the question I have is, like, I'd never seen this before, but in this series, there would be those animation flickers between, like, surprise and shock. Like, any sort of big emotional moment had a different anime style.
Yes.
And that I thought that was really cool, but is that, like, something that happens, or is that just for this?
No, that's a very common...
Oh, is it common? Okay.
Yeah, usually either an anime chooses a style and sticks real hard to it.
Yeah.
Or it can be all over the place.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's done to good effect, and sometimes it's just because the team's not strong enough, I think. And so sometimes it's easier just to kind of make an effect switching over to a goofier style.
Oh, okay. I thought that was fascinating. Like,
there was an isekai series I want to say spring season, where they kept using, like, they generated, like, pixel graphics, like a 16-bit, and turned it kind of, like, told the story. And like, towards the end of the series, you could see that they were struggling, and so they used it more and more as a way of just filling in gaps. And it was, like, it kind of, like, we don't need all this in this style. But I understood, because it's, like, as the production goes along, because anime is done so tightly with not much money or time, they usually get really frantic towards the end of the anime. So unless they do a delay to kind of help themselves get caught up, you'll see a lot of, like, little things like that. A lot of freeze frames and stuff like that.
Well, it wasn't in the teacher anime. It was the other one we were watching tonight, where they kind of, like, froze on one scene. I think I actually said, did everything freeze up? Or are we still here?
That's just them filling 10 seconds of airtime. Yes, that's Demon City Shinjuku. You also nicely watched with us that this is the grander episode is about that and the Wicked City.
Okay.
So that's the other one I have to watch too. So... Oh, I kind of given away the sausage there. Yeah, like we're recording this well before we've done the other part of the podcast. But anyways,
well, I mean, that's podcasting. Sometimes you have to record out of sequence, so where you record something in June. No, wait, hold on. You record something in April, but you can't even release it until October.
That's NDAs, baby.
Yeah, that was not fun, because I had to, like, keep an eye on files for 4 months. That was impressive.
Yeah, they'd be lost if it was on my computer by this point. I'm like, huh? Yeah. What? Clean up my computer? What? Anyway,
what are all these WAV files? They need to go away.
Photos from 2015? No, I don't know. They're gone to the ether. Anyways. But yeah, that's about it. Do you think you got any more final thoughts about the teacher anime? Anything else you want to point out?
It was, you know, rather risque, we'll say. Well drawn, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was just like, you know, there was a lot of suspension of disbelief.
Yes.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. What would you say? Okay. And here's gravity. A good question. What situation was the most unbelievable?
Most believable?
Or most unbelievable?
Unbelievable. So I remember the stuff that we've, like, I remember watching the others, but I don't always remember stuff, you know, because it's been a while. Okay. I think was it the last episode or the second to last episode was the fishing line.
Yeah, that was the last episode before the OAV, so it was the second last one we watched.
Yeah, that one was the one that was just like, you know, here's the fishing line, she's accidentally gotten tied up in it and it's locked around the door, and this other couple are trying to come in to get a peek, and accidentally the door gets slammed closed and just
Yeah, and it's going along her crack, and it's like, and so she's like, I gotta close the door. She's pulling it with her pelvis, basically.
Yeah.
to try to close. Yeah, like it's just.
Oh, and then the caving sequence.
Wait, was and the fact that she was determined not to knock over the stalactite.
Yeah, yeah, it was doing essentially, you know, yoga,
twister, maybe,
and contortion to get not. Yeah,
and then somehow a nipple entered a mouth.
Yeah,
in that process. Yeah,
yeah. There's okay. How about this? There are a lot of, you know, not particularly believable scenarios, but you know what? It's a fun anime. It's there for certain reasons. So, yeah.
It is definitely a fun anime.
Yeah. Oops. It was funny. It was, I laughed a lot at it because just like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
No.
You know, or no. I think I might've made comments about, I guess we're suspending gravity on this world. Cool.
Yes. Yes. Anyways, so yeah. Jason, why the hell were those teachers there anyways?
I don't know. They need a paycheck. Is that it?
Yep. That's always the answer. We all just need a paycheck. Need whatever a paycheck. You got to do, we don't judge here. What's the term? There's no kink shaming on the mezzanine?
Yeah.
No.
We don't kink shame here.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Or something like that. I don't remember. It's Adam's statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. Oh, and good. I can hear from my mic the squeaks of my doors and stuff. That's fantastic. Anyways, so I want to thank you for coming on and doing this quick little recording, talking about why the hell are we here, teacher? And we left it kind of vague enough that because I know King is off in the mountains somewhere, and he was like, dude, I want to talk about this too. So maybe we'll come back and talk about it again. Maybe we'll talk about some Peter Grill and something like that. And other horrendous short animes that contain a lot of inappropriateness.
Yeah, there's plenty of... We've kept this... what's the word I'm looking for? Not mysterious. Vague, yeah. Vague enough that... Yeah. And there's a lot. I mean, 2 hours of... things happening, yeah, you can definitely mine a lot of discussion about it. Yeah,
definitely. Well, thank you again, and have a good night.
Thanks, have a good night, y'all.
And we're back. What's our second commercial break? Come on, guys. We have we need to think of something. Sherry's Berries. Okay, let's get back to it. Let's get back to the next movie.
That's the only thing I can think of when I hear ad breaks.
Ad breaks.
Just Nick yelling Sherry's Berries.
Yeah, the most memorable. We need to workshop that other one, that tuna one.
All right. Our second movie is going to be Wicked City. Released April 25th of 1987. Ooh. Also directed by Yoshiaki Kawajiri.
Do we want to talk maybe about why this director is significant?
Sure. Gizmo hit us with a little fun fact earlier before we started.
Apparently, this guy is one of the co-founders of Madhouse, the studio.
And, Madhouse.
He did a bunch of storyboarding. I won't list everything, but he did stuff for Dororo, for Chia Yafuru, for One Punch Man, for Platinum End, Sunny Boy, Beastars, Jujutsu Kaisen, a lot of stuff. And he also directed Ninja Scrolls. So it's actually funny that Mike you brought it up earlier. He did Wicked City, Demon City, Shinjuku, and Ninja Scroll. And Ninja Scroll might be a movie that we see in the future, maybe.
Yeah, no, podcast. I would like finally get to see it, you know.
Yeah, same here. I've heard so much about Ninja Scroll, I have no idea what it's about. I think it's very violent and very raunchy.
It's got to have two things, right? Ninjas and scrolls?
Yes. Ninjas and scrolls.
So it's like Naruto.
I mean,
right?
You know, we'll be talking about vaginal things, but the one from that I know is vaginal snake. Anyways.
We got more exciting stuff like vaginal dentata in Wicked City.
Hey, you're giving away your burial. Oh, well. Anyway.
So I'm going to hit you with the plot real quick. I'll keep it all short right. and sweet. While protecting a signatory to a peace treaty between the peoples, which it, there's two sides. There's a the humans, and then there's what they call it, the Black Society, or the in the dub at least
Black Worlds, I think.
Black yeah,
the Black World,
which is kind of like the demon side of the people. There's two main characters, Makie and Taki Renzaburo, are in charge of protecting the main guy who's in charge of signing the peace treaty. Just and the crazy adventures they get up to, and what is it like a 2-day span?
Yeah, I guess so. Because the whole idea is the fact that this is like a 500-year what peace?
Yeah, peace treaty. Yeah. And it's up for renewal, just like your driver's license.
What kind of ridiculousness is this?
So yeah, the human world and the demon world are kind of at peace, and it's the negotiator is this Giuseppe guy, and
Giuseppe, yeah.
Maki is actually a black worlder, so one of the demons, but he's also supposed to protect the peace treaty, and she teams up with Taki, who's like the human equivalent. A black guard,
they,
I think.
What did called? They call like them? Black guards? Yeah. Is that what they call them?
Essentially, this is like two countries negotiating a peace treaty, and then there's the radical side that wants to destroy the peace treaty and take over one other country.
Yeah.
Right? And the guy that they have to protect, he reminds me of like a extra horny Master Roshi.
Yeah,
right. Sure. Giuseppe was his name.
He's also
right?
a bit like the Nempo Master from Demon City Shinjuku.
Yeah. But the Nempo Master wasn't very interesting at all.
Like, yeah, but he had a schnoz like on him.
Very old, shriveled guy who's
yeah
cackling and laughing. And...
Giuseppe reminds me a lot. Actually, you know what he reminds me of is what's the name of Gendo's father in Ranma One Half. Oh, it's driving me... Hapasai. Anyways, if you've ever seen Ranma One Half, and he's always like, well, in English dub, he's like, panties!
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's very much like, yeah, he feels like he's basically cutting pace from that.
Super horny, super
yeah, annoying. Yeah.
Like, no, this guy was on a whole nother level. I haven't seen Ranma One Half, but Giuseppe is wild and...
Despite being like 200 plus years old, he fucks.
He do.
Yeah, they never explained that, right? They said, oh, he was last seen in 1850 in I don't even know where.
Well, isn't he also from the Black World or whatever?
Is he? No, I think he just gets around.
He's supposed to be human. And I think they actually mentioned that he was negotiating the first treaty as well, but then that would make him over 500 years old.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah,
I guess he just absorbed some demon powers.
Yeah, but according to the lady from that one host club place that they went to, he's also packing heat.
Yeah, it's big. Big. So why is it all the ladies in this turn out to be demons anyways? That's what I want to know. Can't
because
we just
hot demon sex.
Yeah. Why can't we just have a little, you know, action on the side and not be forced to have to deal with melting into bodies or being eaten by vaginal dentata.
Yeah,
I guess so. So it opens with an infamous scene of basically a demon woman who doesn't necessarily want to kill Taki, the main hero, but at least get a bit of his seed. I don't really know what the whole purpose. Did they explain why?
I think it had to do with the ending of it, but we'll get to that later.
Okay, maybe you can put two and two together for me. But yeah, so like he kind of escapes her as she finally kind of reveals herself. And he's like, I thought the peace treaty was still in effect. And she kind of just takes off. She's like, well, I got what I came for. and takes
and she off. Turns into a giant spider.
Yeah, basically just a four-limbed spider.
With
they're the vaginal dentata comes
with vaginal dentata that shoots web and swings away like Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's the later scene coming up. That's real fantastic.
So this guy, our main character, what's his name? Taki.
Yeah, Taki.
He's known kind of as being a player, like the playboy type, at this company. And essentially, he gets assigned to this job. He's like, this is the biggest job ever, so you better not fuck this up, by his boss. And then
he's told that he has to work with a demon or like...
Yeah, he's going to have a demon partner who's super pretty, but you better stay away from her.
Hmm. Yeah, and then Taki's like, listen, I have got enough demon pussy for now. I'm good. After Spider Lady.
This was literally like the day after, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
And somehow the whole company already knows. I think he's like,
listen, if you want me to go to schools and talk about why you shouldn't screw with demons, I will be the first one to do it. Don't worry, boss. I've learned my lesson.
But wasn't it crazy? Like, how
he didn't.
Yeah. What, the whole company knew. Right? The whole company knew that.
Yeah, like the president's like, oh, I heard you're up to some business last night. How did that go? Well, how do you think it went?
Yeah, even the secretary lady that told them the meeting or whatever, she's also like, hey, like, what happened to you? Da-da-da.
Yeah.
Did he just post on Twitter, like, right after a selfie of him and the demon or something?
Yeah, it's 1987. He posted on Twitter about the fact that, man, can't trust a lady not to be a demon these days, huh?
Right. But anyway,
I guess that's appropriate fare for Twitter nowadays, or X or whatever it's called.
So he gets partnered up with Maki, and they meet up at the airport where he essentially gets saved by her because he gets attacked by some of these demons.
Those are radical demons.
Yep. And then that's where they find Giuseppe, or that's where they're supposed to be waiting for him. And then our fabulous adventure begins by taking him into So what is it, like a hotel, like sanctuary place?
It's supposed to have like a shell or something around it, like a psychic shell to protect them.
Some kind of area. Yeah.
Some demon, I think that's Jin, is able to break his way through it.
Yeah.
Because he's got a sweet pair of shades. I guess. Like, that's the only thing that it came off. And he's very fast.
Yeah, he made quick work of the hotel worker and... Taki.
Yeah, the hotel worker had that fucking like morning star, basically. It was like, whoa.
Yeah, hello. It was like a prosthetic arm or something too, right? Because I remember when he got up, he's like, oh, is your arm okay? He's like, yeah, it was, he just got the fake part or whatever.
Mm.
I don't know. How convenient. But yeah, maybe. I was kind of tired watching this movie, to be honest. I actually fell asleep during the climax and had to go back and watch it again because...
I think this whole podcast we're tired recording this, honestly.
It's because we're getting old.
I was tired watching it. So. Maybe I should have gone back and rewatched a bit of it.
It's funny. So for me, this movie starts off stronger. Like, it starts a more interesting process because it's not automatically like... It's not like the other one where it's like, oh, demons are bad. So we got to go stop them. It's like, no, like, demons are different. They have their own world. And we have ours. And we have this peace treaty that we're trying to maintain. Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a buddy cop comedy. Well, not comedy, but buddy cop movie, you know?
Yeah. It has a stronger start in the fact that it's a more interesting world. With more, like, adult characters and more interesting, like...
There's more depth to the world overall than Demon City.
Like it feels more interesting until basically it becomes, let's see how much we can torture Maki, the female demon, throughout. Because she starts as kind of a badass. She's able to grow her fingernails to very long, like basically as long as she wants, and use them like kind of like little daggers.
Yeah, she could slice people up.
Yeah. She does that pretty good. A couple times, and then afterwards she kind of, I don't know, like if there's like this dramatic change about halfway through.
She gets put through the ringer.
In this. Yeah.
Yeah. This is probably also part of the power dynamics that they're trying to put too, right?
Yeah. This is this is like a front, like Wicked City was the more enjoyable movie until we got to I don't know. Anyways, it's definitely a different sort of
Anyway, sorry, I derailed. We were at the hotel or
yeah, so that's where Jin goes in. He beats up the Taki and then the hotel worker. And then he just fights Maki, right? But then his whole purpose was to go after Giuseppe, the treaty guy, but he just spends most of the time trying to seduce Maki, right?
Yeah, and Maki goes from being dressed in a suit to being basically half naked somehow, and they're making out on the bed and stuff like that, and eventually
she can't resist him anymore.
Yeah, he's you can't resist me, and then she stabs him through or something like that. I forget.
She ties her hair around his neck or something, starts choking him, and then that's when Taki comes in and shoots him.
Yeah. They used to be old lovers back in the day, I think, or something like that.
They had a past, right?
Yeah.
But he also says, I should have just taken you when I had the chance or something, right?
Oh, maybe that was it.
Anyway, yeah, that's the first scene she gets sexually assaulted.
Yeah, mm-hmm. First of it's many.
Not the last.
More to come.
Yeah, and then after they handle that situation, that's when they go to the bathroom where Giuseppe was supposed to be hiding and find out he wasn't there. He got out.
He's gone to the soap land.
Yeah.
For a little bit of R&R.
And then it's crazy how they immediately knew where to find him too. There was no questions. All right, get in the car, let's go.
I mean, he was trying to bring Taki to go there with him, right?
Before. Yeah, so but didn't he also recommend three different places?
Yeah, true.
They're we know this guy, he's going here.
Yeah.
There's and then that's where Giuseppe gets attacked by another demon who happens to be his special lady that he hired.
Aww. She was kind of
like that scene though, how he was she was riding him. It's like a soap land kind of
yeah,
place.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was riding him and he was fondling her boobs. And then his hands melted into her breasts. That was kind of a cool scene.
That's a nightmare fuel right there.
And then she partly absorbs him and he's hanging out of her stomach.
Yeah, he's halfway absorbed when they come in.
Yeah, it's horrifying. Yeah,
it's kind of crazy. That was well animated, that scene.
Yeah. Especially the part when they're trying to pull him out of her, kind of, because he's already partially fused, and then you just see half of her her body melts, which is kind of trippy. And then when Maki kills her, and her body just slowly deteriorates, which is crazy. But that also put our Giuseppe in quite a pickle, right? Because he almost died from that.
Yeah, he's kind of hurt. And then they get into the car and drive to some place.
They had to drive 2 hours away to a special hospital or something that was under their protection.
Yeah, it's psychic hospital.
Demon hospital.
And it's, once again, it's a place that's shielded, so technically he's now safe. But on the way there, they get ambushed in this sort of demon field. I can't remember what it was called, but it was
they called it a time something, right?
Yeah, time bubble. It's if you've watched a lot of Fate, it's a reality marble. Anyways, so they get attacked by, what is it that the, I forget, where does that weird worm snake thing come from?
Wasn't it just in the road kind of waiting for him?
I can't remember.
Anyways,
this is basically ends up being Maki ends up using her psychic force to get them out of this time dilation.
Yeah, because the veil was covered them, and she's like, "Stop the car! I'll try to cut it, and then once I cut it, you get out of here." And then that's when they get attacked by that,
and they leave her to it. And the whole time she's being molested by this worm snake thing in the most sort of obvious way possible that you would.
Yeah,
right before she says she's ready to sacrifice her own life to protect Giuseppe, and I guess that's what she does.
Yeah, I guess, and it just, so he drives him to the hospital, and immediately says, okay, I'm going to go get her, right, because they send a message, and they show her she's being constantly, basically, raped, wherever, by demons and stuff like that.
Yeah. And this is where the story, quote-unquote, I mean, that's not much of a story, right, it's kind of just action scenes.
Like, I think it was interesting, but it completely derails, yes. Yeah. Like, and goes... But
this is where it kind of loses me, because apparently Taki is super in love with Markie now, and I'm like, what? Why? At the beginning of this, he was totally against all Black Worlders and having a partner, and, oh, she's a Black Worlder.
Well, they've gone through so much, obviously, in the last 24 hours.
They haven't gone through any... I mean, they have gone through stuff, but they haven't had any, like,
intimate... They've gone through so much, Gizmo!
They have no chemistry at all.
There was very little, like, verbal relationship building.
Yeah, they didn't... They barely talked to each other, and there was no chemistry on screen, and then he just completely forsakes his duty and leaves Giuseppe there and say, ah, you're fine, I'm gonna go to the demon world to save my loved one. I'm like, what? Since when is she your loved one? And then the worst thing is he gets there and sees her basically assaulted by two demons or whatever, and she's like there moaning in the background and being tortured and raped and shit, and he's just standing there talking to that guy like nothing is going on, like he's like, oh yeah, hey, so I want to release her.
and it like
shows no emotion at all.
And Taki himself isn't like really a great fighter. He just happens to have this freaking gun that has the ability to shoot demons psychically, yeah, or something. Yes. I'm not quite
magic
sure.
Magic bullets that can penetrate, yeah, the demons.
Though he does, there is one point where finally he punches a demon and literally he goes
through, and his head explodes or whatever.
Yeah, he goes right through the whole head of the demon. And I was like, oh, finally. Finally, he does something other than like shoot this big ass fucking
pistol. That was pretty cool animated part, because like his eyes, yeah, stay in the same spot, but his head gets pushed back. So you just see his eyeballs come out.
Yeah, like it was very well. There's some very good animation during all this. Mm-hmm. Too bad it's wasted being spent. Like, how long did he just stand there while Maki's basically being, you know, forced to pleasure these demons? Like, for everyone's, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like it sits way too long on it. Like, and just the fact that we keep, I don't know, by this point, this is like the third, fourth, fifth time that
I've done this too. Yeah, because there was a lot of like flashbacks or whatever. Like, it was just hyper zoomed in the whole time.
What, right? I'm saying is, when will we get the anime where Taki is the one on the receiving end of this? And he's forced to like pleasure all these demons, and Maki has been the one to save them.
I mean, he pleasured a demon 4 minutes into the movie, Mike. You can't forget.
That's true. All right, I take it back. Never mind.
All right, but after that situation is handled,
I mean, one thing.
Yeah,
this movie is like borderline hentai, right? I mean, I watched this and I was like, holy shit, what is this? There's so much sex
I guess, like,
at that point, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever.
It's very graphic, especially like the it's tentacle, like a mixture one of when she was like hanging in the air, getting scene throated by the slimy tentacle dude.
Yeah.
Super the graphic. Tentacles
are in there.
Yeah.
All kinds of fucked up shit going on.
Yeah.
Right, and then, but it's funny. They're anyway. Okay, so she saves them. He does save her from her predicament. They think that they kill the main bad guy. Maybe that was Jin. I can't remember. No, that was Mr. Shadow. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mr. Shadow, who turns into an armored demon, a rock demon or something. I don't know.
With very pointy elbow blades.
Oh, yes, that's right. He gets Taki in the pelvis area. Anyways, but not where you might think, just like above the pelvic bone, I guess you could say. Anyways, whatever. That's a detail we don't need to go into. And of course, Maki tries his best, her best to heal him. And she's like, oh, are you okay? It's like, girl, we're more worried about you from what you've been through. So,
but she's totally fine.
Oh, yeah, fine. Didn't definitely not traumatized whatsoever. No, perfectly fine.
Just another.
And so, of course, Taki at this point goes, "Well, you're damaged goods," and tosses her aside. No, I'm just joking.
I mean, after this is when they're driving back, right? And then they drive into some spider webs down the tunnel.
Oh, right. And now we're back to having our fight with this is round two of Spider Lady.
Yep. Vaginal Dentata 2, Return of Electric Boogaloo.
The revenge. So I don't know. The best part was them catching all the webs on fire and it goes straight up her vahehe. Like, it's like, oh, ow, hey. Because that's where webs are coming from at this point. Vaginal webs.
And then this is the second instance of us seeing that little electricity thing, right?
Oh, and yeah. Did they even explain that? Like, yeah, where
it was Giuseppe. Because he was also in the car on their way back, if you remember. He was, like, just hiding in the car the whole time.
Yeah.
And it was all part of his master plan.
Yeah, by this point, the movie... So we kill Spider Demon.
Yeah, but the ending ends up with Spider Demon having both our main characters in a cocoon, and she's slashing away at him. And then that's when the Spider Demon gets electrocuted, right? From the webs, and essentially dies. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they wake up at the church grounds or whatever.
But first they unknowingly had sex, I guess?
Because they were kind of dreaming or whatever. They thought they'd essentially both died, right?
Yeah.
It seemed like a dream sequence.
But,
Didn't
he say, oh, so you brought us back to life for this? Essentially, Giuseppe brought him back to life, no?
Yeah, I think so. I think...
That's essentially what he said, right? Because I think they had both died. And then I remember Taki said something like, oh, so you brought us back to life for this? And then that's when they're waking up at the church or whatever.
Yeah. But she's now, Maki is now pregnant with the child of a man. Well, I shouldn't say man. That's bad. A human and a demon.
And then this is when we get Giuseppe's background and his true intentions, right?
The master plan. And he's like, I was protecting you all along.
And then you find out that, like, the blue electricity was his.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Actually, Giz, by this point, I think I was checking out as well. Because
I'm the only one that remembers then, huh?
Because I think I was also, because I was watching it Friday night, and my friend had bowed out at this point, being like, I'm falling asleep, dude. I'm going to bed. And I'm like, all right, see ya. And then I'm just like, what's going on? We're on top of a church. What the heck? Anyways. They have to fight the final demon. The final countdown of these rebel demons.
And the final demon is Jin, right? It's the ex-lover of Mark.
Yeah, Jin is the ex-lover. Jin was not the one that attacked the hotel.
Essentially, anything else to add to she gets like extra strength from the baby or whatever, and that's how she sliced them in half.
Well, that's pregnant women in general.
And then, a woman.
That's when she's Giuseppe
carrying a child.
That's when Giuseppe comes out and be like, hey, we've been trying to see if we could cross-pollinate, and you two happen to be the perfect match, so we set this whole thing up to see if it would work, and bam, she's pregnant.
They're the first people that can, like, crossbreed humans and demons.
Could they have not just taken them to a love hotel instead of having... Why did Maki have to repeatedly get raped for this to happen? That's what I want to know.
That's how you build emotions and Stockholm Syndrome, Mike.
I see. She's like, Taki is the only man also for me. Also kinky. Because even though he didn't ask, he was at least gentle when he did it. Okay. So, what do we think? Thoughts? Feelings? Love the world. I guess I just jumped in because I want to... Love the world, but the story about halfway through just loses me completely. Like, it just... And also just the incessant, like...
Same.
Bad fan service.
Yeah.
Maki is probably not as bad, but reminds me a lot of Casca from Berserk kind of thing.
Ooh, I mean, yeah, I can see your point, but I mean, Maki, this is just way more than what happens to Casca. So,
is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
I mean, the tentacle thing, the thing with her ex.
Sure.
There's just so many instances.
Sure.
For Casca, there's a point to it, kind of, I feel like. To the story.
Yes, there's always a point.
No, but this was really just gratuitous, just for the sake of it.
Yeah. No. No, sorry, I'm being a bit... what would be the term for it? Anyways, but yeah.
What would you rate it, Mike?
I would probably give this a 6 out of 10. Honestly, like I said, there's things that I even like the character design more. I like the fact that they've focused more on adult characters. I think it was a lot more interesting the fact that the demons are not just as automatically assumed. Though, albeit it's very dated to be calling them like the Black Country or Black whatever. Maybe let's not use that term. But anyways.
I mean, you could just replace it with dark.
Maybe, yeah. I'm trying to look and see.
It's the Shadow World.
Is it from Hunter x Hunter? Are they from the Dark Continent?
The Dark Continent. Oh my goodness. The Heart of Darkness? Are going down a river?
But yeah.
Anyways, it doesn't matter. I appreciate the fact that like it was a little more gray in that aspect, but yeah. And also I think Giuseppe is slightly better than that other weird old man we had from the other series, if we're talking about parallels, but
I want to say Giuseppe is kind of like the comedic relief character, like Chibi, like the little kid in the other one.
Though I think it's really dumb when they turn around. It's like, ooh, what a twist. It was me. I was protecting you all along. And it's like, okay, whatever. Whatever. Like, this is like the dumbest thing in the world. Like, you didn't have to do this. If it's just you wanted to have a demon human baby. You could have just said, hey, can you guys like go on a couple of dates and see if you get along well enough?
Yeah. According to them, nothing builds bonds like trauma.
Sure.
What did you think about it, Gizmo?
It seems a good way to manipulate people into getting into a relationship, I guess. Yeah, but again, I'm kind of in the same boat. I think this is mildly better than Demon City Shinjuku. I would give it a 5 out of 10, maybe. I like how it looks, like the animation, the cyberpunk style. And I just like 80s, 90s animation styles. It looks nice. And it also lost me during... somewhere in the middle, again. I think the beginning was kind of fun, and it had this buddy cop thing going, which is always fun. Which the 80s and 90s did a lot, right?
Yep.
But then when the plot comes in and the master plan, I'm like, this is so stupid. I don't give a fuck about this. And the romance is ridiculous. It's not even there. I don't even know why. This makes no sense to me. They should have had, I think all it needed was one scene where they have a bit of a moment, maybe in the sanctuary, in the hotel or somewhere, where they have a bit of a heart to heart, or I don't know, something that makes me believe that they could fall in love or something.
I mean there was one part kind of where when he saves her, and it's more like they're kind of like with each other simultaneously, because at the beginning when they first met, she saved him at the airport, and he saves her, so it's kind of like they see each other as equals type of beat. Because one of the other things that the people from the Black Continent or whatever were trying to get at is that they're superior to the humans, that they should just invade and wipe them out.
That was right? Like the, what were they, the rebels or the anarchists? I forget what they called them.
Yeah, I feel like that's what they were trying to do, but it didn't really come across well at all.
And at the beginning, at least, Maki seems a lot more capable than Sayaka. So she didn't seem like the typical damsel in distress, but then
once they hit the hotel, it was downhill, right?
The second half happened, and it's like, oh my god. She is really just there to get assaulted by everyone. Very sad.
Yep. Yep. All right, so I'll give it like a 6.2. I thought it had better animation than Demon City. The audio, like the sounds were better. Like, I don't know about... Because Demon City felt flat and quiet at certain spots. But then again, that could have been because I was watching the dub. Also, the action was better. It was a lot more movement. It was a lot more fluid. And overall, the story was a little bit more interesting. Demon City's story was pretty straightforward because it was just like a, hey, this bad guy's trying to open up a gate to let the demons in. We have to go kill him. But the other one, it like bounced back and forth, but it was a bit more interesting. Though it was poorly executed.
Yeah. It had like a bit of twisty plots. Yeah. So they put a bit more effort into this, I guess.
Yeah. Also, one thing about Demon City. All right. Remember when Chibi gets possessed and he brings the dude down into the underwater world?
Yeah.
Right? What's her name? She saw it happen, and then like she didn't see where Chibi went afterwards. Then she sees him later. It's like, oh, hey, Chibi, how's it going? But he didn't. Yeah. She remember that he pulled down.
But I think he wasn't even possessed. It was just an illusion, right?
That was the illusion demon making up an illusion.
I don't think he was there. I think Chibi just wakes up in his bed and
himself.
Yeah, but wouldn't Sayaka just think it was Chibi even though it was an illusion, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it was meant to be water because it was like he went into the puddle or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she like, dove back in to get him, right? So maybe she saw the illusion demon there. I don't know.
I don't know. That just popped into my head last minute. Sorry about that. Back to Wicked City. Yeah, it was fine. 6.2. Better animation, better action. Kind of over the top a bit more. It could have done with a lot less of the weird stuff. Tone it down a little bit, but...
These feel like movies of our time, which is not to say that, you know, that shit's okay. But
yeah,
it's
this
like,
is clearly 80s.
It's something that, thankfully, I don't think we would accept now. Unless it was just, like, it's blatantly meant to be an exploitation, like a rape exploitation or something like that kind of thing. You would not see it at all.
It's super cheesy, and I don't think it's meant to be super serious or anything. It's like, it feels like someone was, like, just... happy is that they could do anything they want, and then they just completely went overboard with all the edgy stuff, like with the violence and the sex and all of that.
Oh, did we did you guys watch the sub or dub?
I watched this one.
Yeah, we watched it. We watched, well, okay. So
I know we asked for Demon City, but I don't know if we asked for Wicked City.
Yeah, no, we didn't. But I watched it dubbed.
Okay, you also watched it dub?
Yeah.
Mike, dub?
Ooh. I there was lost connection there. Anyways, I washed it up.
Okay, good.
All right.
Well, that's the end of our show. Our next episode will be the final episode of our Girlfriends of Summer, where we're watching Sayaka No How to Raise a Boring Girlfriend. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, the final one before like the SmackDown. Anyways, what's that?
Any final thoughts?
I don't know what to say. I think that if you want to see them just for the sake of seeing them, it's fine, but you're not missing much by not watching them. I feel like these are ones that we could probably leave behind. It's okay.
Yeah, I think if you have a lot of nostalgia for 80s, 90s action movies, then this could be a neat little trip down memory lane. Just be prepared for...
Just turn the volume down.
And Demon City Shinjuku is the more boring but less offensive one, right?
Yeah.
And Wicked City is by far the more titillating and more offensive, I guess. I don't know.
It's definitely edgier.
It's definitely etchier. That's about it.
But all right, on that note, links.animesummit.net. Join Manga Book Club, and thanks for listening to the Anime Plummet podcast. Bye.
Bye bye.
Peace.